the annual benefit auction for Findlay's Hope House. Lori Poland is with us from Hope House. Talk about the event. Hope shines bright.
Good morning.
The theme here. Lauren, thanks. Lori, thanks very much for Lauren. Where did I come up with that? I don't know. Anyway, it's my brain is in a fog.
I don't know. My name on Facebook right now is Zelda because I got hacked again. So you know, I go by many names.
Okay, all right. Just don't call me late for dinner,
right,
as they say.
Exactly.
So, Lori, good to have you with us once again. Tell us about the event itself, first of all.
So Hope House has an auction annually. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We focus a lot on the shelter that evening and the ladies who live there and the services that we provide for those homeless women and children. But it consists of both a live and a silent auction. We have various raffles. This year we have a flat top grill as one of our prizes, which is
pretty cool,
pretty popular right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also have a program, and this year our program will be Mr. Matt Dix. And Matt is a nationally known speaker and storyteller, and he also teaches fifth grade in his spare time. He's coming to us from the East Coast. But the cool thing about Matt is that he has overcome homelessness. There was a time in his life where he, through no fault of his own, faced homelessness. And as a child, he also, because of a divorce, lived in poverty. So he understands the people that we serve, what it's like to be rolling along, and all of a sudden I'm homeless and I don't have any money and I don't have any job prospects and I'm not sure what I'm going to do, to overcoming all of that and becoming so successful. He tells his story in a humorous way, but also there's a serious side to him that he knows how important it is to make sure people understand homelessness, and overcoming homelessness is a really big deal. And and it is possible.
It's interesting. You talk about his accomplishments and not the type of person I would imagine that you would meet at first glance and think that this is an individual who had experienced homelessness.
Right.
Which just emphasizes the fact that this is a lot of the people that you serve would maybe fall into that category as well.
Right.
Not necessarily individuals you would think.
Right. I was speaking at a group several weeks ago, and afterward, one of the people in the group came up to me and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I used to be one of your residents. I lived at the shelter during a time in my life when I needed help."
Wow.
And again, you know, not looking around the room saying, "Oh, I bet, you know, you might have had some bad experiences in your life." You know, we are serving people that are coming from trauma. They're at the lowest point in their life many times, but that doesn't mean that they're staying at that low point. And Hope House gives them the help that they need to move forward and to move back into a safe and stable place of their own.
Also kind of makes us confront a rather uncomfortable reality that many of us are probably closer to that than we would like to admit. We're probably just one or two steps removed from being in that situation ourselves if we really thought about it.
You're right. And we saw that a lot with COVID. You know, people were going to work. They're living their life. They're paying their bills. Everything's fine. And all of a sudden, I went to work today.
Boom.
Both my wife and I no longer have jobs.
Yeah.
It's why the eviction prevention dollars we got back in 2020 were so important, and why we have continued to ask for eviction prevention dollars, because we really feel like sometimes people just need that little bridge, there's just a little gap that needs a little bridge to get them over the hump to the other side and can stop a catastrophic change in their life, which would be eviction.
So how do you do that? Because, again, there is the immediate, as you mentioned, preventing eviction to the extent that you can, or the immediate of providing those who are homeless with somewhere to go. But that's only the beginning of addressing the problem.
So we feel like, and we know that it works, the case management side, case managers are licensed social workers. They walk beside our clients, you know, kind of grab them by the arm and say, "We're doing this and I'm going to help you through this." Because it's easy to write a check and say, "Here, landlord, here's the rent for these people." Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to say, "We're going to help you pay your rent, and then we're going to help you figure out, how did you get here? What are you going to do when you're in our program? And how are you going to stay independent when you leave?"
Yeah.
You know, when we're no longer assisting you.
Right.
Because most of our programs are short-term programs, because they're meant to bridge that gap, to assist people as they go on their way. It's not to pay your rent for the rest of your life, or to allow you to have a crutch, it's we are building a foundation there. And the over 80% of the people that we serve that successfully complete our programs are still housed a year later. So whatever, you know, guidance they didn't have before, we're giving them more tools in their toolbox so that they can stay on their own 2 feet. And what a lot of people don't understand, Chris, is that some of the people that we serve did not have the gifts that we had growing up. They didn't have that guidance, someone to teach them about what is your responsibility as a renter, what is the landlord's responsibility as your landlord, the importance of so many things that we have a foundation for in middle class that some of these folks just don't have.
Yeah.
Some of them do have it, but a lot of them do not, and so it doesn't occur to them sometimes to live life in a different way because this is what they've known. So we're trying to help them find a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for over 30 years.
you mentioned that COVID was one thing that sort of exacerbated the problem or highlighted the problem or, all of a sudden you get an influx. Mm-hmm. But how common is this in Hancock County?
How common is homelessness?
Yeah.
So the annual point in time count for 2023, which is a national count that happens in January across the nation, in Hancock County, we could count, and mind you, it's January, so, and when people see you coming, it's not like they're running out saying, hey, I'm here.
Right.
So the of what
and
we could,
by the very nature, it makes it difficult to count.
Yes, it does. I mean, I guess you can't do it in Arizona in July, so it's interesting we do it in Ohio in January, but
right.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And Hope House works with the other entities in the community, also the police and the sheriff, to go out and physically count. In 2023, it was 171 folks in Hancock County. Hmm. That is an increase of, I believe, 72% in the past 5 years.
Wow.
So homelessness is a problem. It's not like, and we are what we call rural homelessness. A lot of people are living on what we call couch surfing. They're living on somebody's couch or they're staying in a porch. Or
not
something
sleeping
like
in doorways.
Correct.
Necessarily. Mm-hmm. Although there are some instances
are
of people
outside, right.
who sleep
mm-hmm.
outside, sleep in the parks
in
or what
tent.
Have you. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, we don't have the tent cities.
Right. It's right. Not
so
like
that makes it also more easier to sort of think that it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's really not in our face. Yes, we see people sometimes, there's a person out by Walmart with a cardboard sign or something.
Right. Yeah.
Are they really homeless? Are they really in need?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to judge them, but they still have the appearance of being homeless
right.
and needing help. But we do have a lack of housing in Hancock County, which is a nationwide problem. And until we can build more residential housing, either pull units or just housing, we're going to have a problem with finding enough places for people to lay their head at night. Our community knows it's a problem. It's a big problem to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people, including our mayor, who is interested in this problem and in looking at ways to address it.
Yeah. We've got more of a silent problem or an unseen mm-hmm. problem here as compared to maybe some urban centers. And again, you mentioned the percentages or the statistics. Mm-hmm. The after effects from COVID may still be throwing that off a little bit, but the main point is that this is not a problem from which we are immune
exactly.
in the community. So again, hence the important work of Hope House and the importance of the benefit auction, because as you mentioned, it is the largest fundraiser. So so that goes into like the eviction prevention fund,
it goes into our programming.
Okay.
Funding. So we do have gaps in our programs. I mean, we are a United Way agency. We get a lot of we get state grants. I write a lot of private grants along with some of my coworkers. And of course, we get individual grants and monetary donations, also donations of in-kind goods. But this really helps fill a gap in our funding. So it's a fun night of, I mean, you know me, I want it to be fun. I don't want you to feel like you're pulling teeth because
right.
when is it going to be over? So we try to make it fun. We do have some nice prizes. I mean, there's a week's stay at a brand new home in Paso Robles, California.
Oh, wow.
We've got some artwork. We always have artwork from our residents who who
very
donate
cool.
Their talent to help us create something special.
Very
so
cool.
There are a lot of different things that are available. to the people that come.
And it should be a really inspiring story mm-hmm. From the guest speaker as well. The date on it is April 12th. So as we mentioned, it's just a little more than 2 weeks away. How do folks get tickets?
So you can go to our website, www.findleyhopehouse.org, and there's a link on there. Registration is online. It is a paperless event, a cashless event, and you can register on there. It starts at 6 o'clock, doors open about 5:30, and then it's at the Hancock Hotel.
Okay, very good. So you know it's going to be good food.
Right,
so
we've got some really great food.
Yeah. Can't beat it. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information about the benefit auction and about the work of Hope House. And again, Lori Poland from Hope House with us this morning. Thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. I always appreciate it.